Come thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet, sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mount I'm fixed upon it, mount of thy redeeming love. Here I raise mine Ebenezer, hither by thy help I come. And I know by thy good pleasure, safely I'll arrive at home. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. He to rescue me from danger, interposed his precious blood. Oh, to grace how great a debtor, daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness like a fetter bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, oh, take and seal it for thy courts above. Here's my heart, oh, take and seal it for thy courts above.
Praise the Lord. That was fun. Let's go to the book of Philippians in our Bibles this morning. As Brother Isaiah mentioned, the AGM is mislabeled. That's Mother's Day, so we're going to move that out to the 15th of May. And if you would submit your nominations to myself or the deacons, that would be very helpful. So let's take our Bibles, go to Philippians chapter 4, and we will be looking at verses 10 through verses 19 of Philippians chapter 4. And verse 19 is one of those verses that a lot of Christians either know it by heart, or they know about the verse. But today, we're going to understand the context of the verse, and I think you'll find it surprising as we look at this together. Philippians chapter 4, beginning in verse 10. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire a fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all, and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need, according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So I'm entitled the message, God Shall Supply. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Fathers, we look into your word. We do pray that you'll use it in our lives this morning to grow us, to teach us, to change us, to do whatever's needed in our hearts. May we listen to you and respond to you today. And Lord, we ask that our Savior Jesus Christ would be lifted up in this time. It's such a blessing to be together now, and we give this service to you. Bless every aspect of it. May it all be pleasing to you. We ask this in your wonderful name. Amen. So as I mentioned, context. Context is always important, isn't it? It's one thing to know a verse. It's another thing to understand how the verse fits and its purpose and the surrounding concepts. And in this case, Philippians 4:19 is a great verse. And it's okay, I believe, to quote it and to claim it. My God shall supply all your need. Praise the Lord. We believe that and we want that. But the context of this verse, believe it or not, is missions giving. And, you know, with Brother Agger coming next weekend, I thought it would be good for us to think about this. We want God to bless us, but God wants us to be excited about missions. And Paul here was holding up the church of Philippi as a church that cared about Paul as one of their missionaries, and they did their best to be a help to him in his mission endeavors. And in response to what they did for him, he sent them this promise: my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So let's walk through the passage together this morning and learn as we do. So in verse 10, as we see here, it is God's will that churches care for God's missionaries. He said, I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Paul here is saying that the church of Philippi cared for him specifically as probably the greatest church planter that ever lived, the Apostle Paul. If you would, keep your place here. Go to the 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 9. The Bible says here in this verse, when I was present with you and wanted, I was chargeable to no man. For that which was lacking to me, the brethren which came from Macedonia supplied. So again, here we see the church at Macedonia also was a blessing to Paul and helped provide his needs. When Paul traveled, he didn't travel alone. He had preacher boys or men that he was training to be pastors with him. He had other people that traveled with him. Their meals had to be cooked and they had to set up homes sometimes and so forth. They were an entourage, if you will, that they traveled together and they had needs. And they didn't have jobs unless they would settle in an area, and then sometimes Paul would act as a tent maker or whatever and earn money. But churches would communicate. And as we're going to see, that word communicate in the Bible is not talking about our speech. It's talking about giving to others. And they would send Paul financial and physical gifts to help him and his helpers in their ministry. In the course of his ministry, he learned a great lesson about missions, and that is verse 11 of our passage. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Now, most of us know that verse, or at least the concept. What's the context? He's talking as a missionary, and he says, I have learned personally as a church planter, whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Because as a missionary, he's going to face highs and lows. He's going to face abundance and he's going to face lack of abundance. He's going to face a lot of different things as a missionary. And he had learned. He hadn't just been taught it. He had learned through his own experience to be content no matter what God sent his way. Of course, God wants us to do the same. God wants us to be content wherever we are, because we're all missionaries, essentially, because we've all been given the Great Commission to go and preach the gospel to every creature. But God wants us to be content with whatever we had, as he tells us in Hebrews 13:5, be content with such things as ye have. So moving on in our passage, verse 13, he says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Context. We love to quote that verse, don't we? Philippians 4:13. What's the context? I believe the context is, as we are doing God's will, we can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth us. We need to be in God's will. There's a lot of Christians that aren't in God's will. They're not obeying God. They're not doing what God wants them to do. Maybe they're not serving the Lord. Maybe they're not faithful to church. Maybe they're not reading the Word. Or maybe they're not in prayer like they should be. Maybe they're living in sin. Can they quote Philippians 4:13 and claim it? No, they can't. You need to be in God's will if you want to try to claim Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. When you're serving God and when you're a center of God's will, God wants to use you. And God will give you the strength, and you can do all things because you're doing it through Him, and He is God. And with God, all things are possible. So again, the context is, I can do all things through Christ when I'm serving Christ, when I'm obeying Christ, as Paul was, when he was doing the will of God. And that's what God wants for us. You know, like Jesus said, I'm the vine, you're the branches. In John 15:5, he says, without me, you can do nothing. And that is true for all of us. We need to be in the center of God's will. We need to be leaning on God, and He will give us the strength and the power to get things done. So now into the heart of this passage, verse 14, he says, notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving, receiving, but ye only. So twice in that passage, we see that word communicate show up. And Paul here is saying to the church of Philippi, you communicated with me. You helped me. You sent financial gifts and physical gifts to help me on my way. No other church did when I first started, but you did. And he even mentions in verse 16, he says, for even in Thessalonica, while I was at another city, ye sent once and again unto my necessity. So is it God's will that we help our missionaries? Absolutely. We need to be excited about not only the fact that they are serving God in other places, but we should be excited about the fact that we can have a part in that by helping them, by communicating with them through financial and physical gifts, just like the churches did with the Apostle Paul. Go to Galatians chapter 6, please, verse 6. You understand that we are stewards. We own absolutely nothing. You know, we're in the process of hoping to buy a house someday, if we can find one that doesn't sell in one day. But even after we buy that house, of course the bank's going to own it, right? But even after all of that, we don't own anything. God owns it. God owns us, and God owns everything. And we are stewards of what we have, what He entrusts to us, either through physical things like our homes and our possessions, or through finances. It's all provided through different means, but in the end, it all belongs to God. And all we are is stewards of what He's given to us. Stewards in the sense that we're watching over God's resources. And God wants us to be good stewards. And part of being a good steward is to communicate or share what we have with God's servants. And that is exactly what this passage is about. Look at Galatians 6:6. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Now this is a different aspect of communicate, but it's the same point. In this case, God is saying that He wants churches to support their pastors, which this church does, praise God, but that's God's will as well. He says, let him that is taught communicate to him that teaches. Communicate. It's not talking about talking, it's talking about helping with financial gifts. And God wants God's people to communicate to God's men and women that serve the Lord. And that is what this passage is all about. In verse 17, he says back in our passage, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. So Paul's saying it's not that I'm being greedy or selfish or self-centered. He's saying I want you, as in the church of Philippi, to be blessed. And I know that if you're excited about blessing God's servants, God will bless you. And that's exactly what he says in that verse. He says, I desire fruit that may abound to your account. Doesn't Jesus tell us to lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven? How do we do that? We can't write God a check and mail it to heaven. So how do we lay up treasure in heaven? Well, one of the ways is when we give to God's servants, we are laying up treasure in heaven. Paul calls it fruit abounding to your account. Because really, when you think about it, when we give to missions, it's as unselfish as it can be. Now, when we give our tithe, that's to help pay the light bill and to help pay for supplies and to help pay for everything else that it takes to run a church. So there's a little bit of self-benefit in that. Wouldn't you all agree? That we get some benefit out of that. You're paying the preacher. He preaches. You're paying to keep the lights on. You're paying to have property and so forth. So you get some personal benefit out of that. But when you give to a missionary, the only benefit is the blessing of knowing you're blessing God's man. But you're not getting personal benefit out of it. You're not, the money's going somewhere else. And his ministry is getting benefited. But what does God say here? Fruit that may abound to your account. You're getting eternal benefit. Spiritual benefit. Maybe not physical, but it's fruit that abounds to your account. And Paul here is saying to the Philippians, and by the way, he's using them as an example. It's in the Word for a reason, to teach us a lesson that God wants to bless us, but he wants us to be excited about what he's excited about, and that is the whole world hearing about the death of his son on Calvary. That's really what it comes down to. Why did Jesus die on the cross? So that people could be saved from their sin and go to heaven. God wants everybody in the world to hear. God is not willing that any should perish. Right? 2 Peter 3:10, but that all should come to repentance. That's God's will. And so Paul is saying, I desire fruit that may abound to your account. Verse 18, he says, but I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you. You've got to understand, in Bible times, they didn't have courier post. Okay? And if they wanted to send a gift to a church planter or to a missionary, they would have to typically find somebody in their church that they felt was reliable, because, if they ended up being a thief, they could lose it. Somebody that they thought that was reliable, who could handle a bag of money and maybe a cart full of supplies or food or whatever, and say, take this to Paul. And so the Philippian church chose out Epaphroditus and said, take this to Paul. And that's exactly what he did. He went to wherever Paul happened to be at that time, Thessalonica, and he traveled over the dirt roads and took the money and the supplies to help Paul in his ministry. And Paul is saying, I'm full. I abound. You have sent me so much. You've been such a blessing to me, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. Let's look at Hebrews 13, if we could, talking about this word sacrifice. We hear so much about that word, and what we're finding is that when we get excited about missions, that is a sacrifice that pleases God. Look at Hebrews 13, 16. We're going to see this other word show up again, too. But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Such sacrifices. What sacrifices are those? To communicate. To give of what God has entrusted to us as His stewards to God's people. To communicate. And God refers to that as a sacrifice that He is pleased with. And then another one. Look at 1 Peter 2:5. Over to the right, a couple more books. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. First Peter 2:5 says, ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. One of the things God wants us to do is to offer up spiritual sacrifices. And one of the ways we can do that is to get excited about God's servants. And that's, as they say, bringing it down to our level where the rubber hits the road. When we get excited about missions, God will bless us because we are now involved in what He's involved in, and that's getting the gospel to lost people around the world. His number one priority and our number one priority. So back to our passage. Now that we've understood all of this context, now we read verse 19, which says, "But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus." He says to the Philippians, and eventually to all churches after that, "You've communicated with God's man. You've offered up these spiritual sacrifices, fruit that might abound to your account. And because you've done those things, because you've gotten excited about God's program, which is reaching the lost with the gospel of Jesus Christ, my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus." Which is a wonderful verse that every Christian should memorize. But what God is saying is He has the power to take care of whatever needs we have. And let's look at a couple of scriptures on that. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 8, if you would, and verse 18. Because when we get excited about helping God's men and women in the ministry, sometimes that will require of us a literal sacrifice of our resources. It's beyond the tithe, which already belongs to God anyway. It's a sacrifice, and for some people a big one, to give to God's men. And what Paul is saying is, if that's what you get excited about, God's going to take care of you. God's going to meet your needs. My God shall supply all your need. Notice Deuteronomy 8:18, "But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is He that giveth thee power to get wealth." We can't forget. Yeah, we have jobs, a lot of us. Where do we have the power to have a job? From God. It's God that gives us the power to get wealth. It comes from God. He could take that job away from us tomorrow. He has the power to do that too. He's in control of these things. And what He's saying is, I'm going to meet your needs because I'm God and I have infinite resources. But I want you to get involved in reaching the lost for Jesus Christ. I want to supply your needs, but I want you to communicate with God's men and help them. We all know Psalm 23:1, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Look at Proverbs chapter 3, if you would. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 9. And what we're going to find is a principle that runs throughout the Scriptures, Old and New Testament, because we're looking at a New Testament one as well. And that principle is this: God wants us to go first. God wants us to give, and then He'll give. But He wants us to take that first step of faith. Notice Proverbs 3:9. "Honor the Lord with thy substance, and with the first fruits of all thine increase, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine." You see that word, first fruits? God first. Remember the story of Elijah, when he met the widow, gathering a couple sticks so she could cook a cake for her son so they could die from the famine. And Elijah sent her and said, "Okay, go ahead and cook your cake, but give it to me first." Now I'm paraphrasing, but that's what he told her. "Yeah, okay, I know you're going to cook your last cake. You have no more meal left. You have nothing. You're gathering a couple of sticks. You're going to cook a little fire. You're going to eat that cake and you're going to die. Make the cake, but give it to me." Now, we all know what happened. In return, the bread and the oil just kept reappearing until the famine ended. And God provided for her. But He was teaching her a lesson and us a lesson: God first. And isn't that what He says here? First fruits. And then what does God promise? "So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Now let's look at a New Testament verse, Luke chapter 6, verse 38. Luke 6, 38. And this is the same lesson that Paul was teaching to the church at Philippi, or exhorting them, if you will, because they had gotten so excited about helping him, physically helping him. He, in return, said, God's going to bless you for what you've done for me. God's going to meet your needs. God's going to abundantly bless. Luke 6:38 says, give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall be given to your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. God has everything. He owns it all. And it's not that he can't provide everything. It's that he wants us to get excited about what he's excited about, so that we can claim these promises about him blessing us if we'll put him first. You know, he says in Haggai 2:8, the silver is mine and the gold is mine. How much do people scramble today for money, which is based supposedly on silver and gold? At least it used to be. God says it all belongs to him. It's all his. And he says, riches and glory by Christ Jesus. In other words, this infinite reservoir. And let's look at that, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 8. God has at his disposal everything and can do anything on our behalf. And will, notice Ephesians 3:8, unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Now, I understand that's talking about more than physical things and money, absolutely. Our salvation, our eternal security, the indwelling Holy Ghost, our home in heaven, the royal priesthood. We could go on and on about the unsearchable riches of Christ. We get so much and we get saved. Justification and adoption and redemption, sanctification, all these things that God does for us. These unsearchable riches. But included in that are the physical things too. The things that we live day by day. We live in a physical world. We live in a physical body until we leave this place. And God is saying he will supply all our needs according to this infinite reservoir, this riches and glory by Christ Jesus. But what precedes this great truth is communicating with God's men and God's women that are serving God out there planting churches for the Lord. That's what God wants us to get excited about. And so it's a fantastic truth. But it's a blessing to my heart to know that, and I'm sure to yours, that God has this thing all worked out. You know, it's so complicated when we start trying to think it all through. We don't have to. Just trust God. Get excited about missions. Get excited about reaching the lost for Jesus Christ. And God says he'll take care of the rest. He'll take care of us. He'll bless us abundantly. But he wants us. Yes, he'll supply, but he wants us to go first. The first fruits. Go first. Get excited about God's plan for what? Reaching the world with the gospel. That's what it's all about. When the rapture comes and we go to heaven and we leave everything behind, all the physical stuff gets left behind, what's going to matter? It's going to matter. Was that person saved or not saved? Was that person I worked with? Was that neighbor? Was that loved one? Were they saved or not saved? Our physical things, we're not going to care. We're on our way to glory to spend forever with the Lord. But it is going to matter about souls that got saved and souls that didn't get saved. That's what's going to count. So that's what God wants us to get excited about now. And our God will supply, because he's a great, infinite, powerful God. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word and for this great truth. And may we get a hold of it, Lord, and get excited about it and understand what you want for us in regards to reaching this world, this big world, with the gospel. And Lord, help us to just be understanding that it's not our responsibility to reach the world. It's our responsibility to do our part, and you'll do the rest. We just need to reach them one at a time. So give us this wonderful perspective, and again, may we live it, may we make it a creed of our own lives to communicate with God's men and women that are serving you around the world and making unbelievable sacrifices on the behalf of Christ. May we in turn make sacrifices and understand that you'll bless them. We love you, and we thank you for your word and using in our lives. Have your will and way in our invitation time. We ask this in Jesus' wonderful name.